you can't pray. That's why your soul needs to die. Now, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, or the place where the olive press, the olive that was being pressed at that moment was his soul. God pressed him. Why? Because when he pressed him, everything that was on the...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. And we usually say that every other month, if not most months in our scripture reading for our Lord's Supper. But when you have it, say amen. Now, I want to make sure that you're with me, so I want you to read the 1 Corinthians 11 chapter and verse 29. All right, if you're there, begin reading.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I have a question for you this morning. And that question is, do you discern the Lord's body? Do you, not the person sitting next to you, discern the Lord's body? Well, let's deal first with the word discern, because it's important to understand how God is going to hold us accountable. This word discern means to perceive or to recognize. And so when it is clear that Paul is saying to the Corinthian church and to the believers that it is most expedient that they understand that the bread that they're taking and the wine that they're drinking must be in cooperation with the performance of the will of God through Jesus Christ, through the giving of his life on Calvary, and all that he did to bring man back into a right relationship with the Father. We recognize, we perceive that bread, that cracker that we're eating is not just bread or crackers. we perceive that the wine that we're drinking or the grape juice is not just grape juice or wine, but there is a greater significance tied into the meaning of these emblems. And it is incumbent upon every believer, individual believer, to understand why they're taking the Lord's Supper. So I want to just walk through some scriptures to help you understand, to get a better base of understanding, so that you would take this very seriously, no matter where you partake in the Lord's Supper. For he said, as often as you eat and drink, you do show forth my death till I return. So whether you do it every week, whether you do it five times a day, once a year, whenever it is, you have got to keep in mind, the forefront of your mind or consciousness, why it is that you are partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, one of the things that I want you to know is, let's go back to John chapter 6. Verse 35. All right, and we're going to walk through some more. While you read that, I'm going to have our reader to read it.
John chapter 6, verse 35. It reads, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Now notice, Jesus said he is the what of life? Jesus says he's the bread of life. Let me tell you, if you keep on reading, you're going to discover later in the end of this chapter that he had anointed 70 disciples and sent them out to cast demons out, to heal the sick and shut in, to present the ministry of Christ. And when he spoke to them about him being the bread of life and his blood being the bloodline of life, being the blood that they should drink as a wine, engulfing all of this as a part of who he was and is, they had an issue with it. Part of their major issue was that they were looking in the flesh, the natural, in the carnality of the words Jesus spoke, and Jesus was speaking spiritually. So I want you to go on, read John 6, verse 51 through 59. I want you to just see what he talks about, the bread and the wine here.
John chapter 6, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever.
All right, hold up right there. He says, I am now what? The what kind of bread? Living bread, living bread. He is speaking again of that bread, that salvation that God sent from glory. Jesus came from heaven, and he is the bread of life. He is the living bread. When we partake of Jesus, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when we eat that bread, it is symbolizing that we're eating the living bread that gives us life, and that is Jesus Christ. Continue on.
And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Right.
Verse 52. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me and live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum.
All right. Now listen at this. He tells them in the end, listen, your fathers ate bread from manna, but that was a temporary solution for a problem they had in the wilderness. That was only to keep them alive, to get them through the wilderness. Jesus said he is the living bread. He's not just here for you to eat in the flesh. This is to eat and partake of your spirit man, and you will live forever with him. In other words, you will have eternal life because of Jesus Christ, and not just because of bread alone. He asked them, he said, your fathers did eat manna from heaven. He said, but they're dead. They didn't eat this living bread. They ate bread from heaven, but it wasn't the living bread. So I want us to understand that. Now let me break down a verse for you. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Rita?
1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Amen. God bless you. Now listen at this. Who his own self. Sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? It could have just said, who himself. But it says, who his own self. I want to begin right there. Because the reason why Peter makes this clear is because we need to understand that salvation came through not another man, not another power, not another person, but Jesus. Jesus by himself, singularly, alone, brought salvation to this world. There is salvation in no other name. As a matter of fact, no other name is given under heaven, you know, for men to recognize that they must be saved by other than Jesus Christ. Confucius, Buddhas, Muhammad, and all the rest of them cannot bring you salvation. Jesus himself alone. Somebody say Jesus alone. So let's be clear. Our salvation comes through Jesus alone and nobody else and nothing else. Who himself alone, his own self, him alone. Well, what did he do? What does the next part of the verse say? It doesn't say bore our sins. It says bear our sins in his own what? Body. Now, keep in mind, we just learned what his body was. What was his body? The living bread. The living bread. Now, I want you to hear this because this is important. When it talks about his own body and it's bringing this up and making this clear, his body was lifted up on the cross. The living bread was lifted up on the cross. What is the purpose of emphasizing his body? Well, it is in the body that man commits sin. It is in the body that man do evil deeds. It is in the body that everything that comes against the word, the will, and the way of God happens in this earth realm. It's done in the body. So it was in the body that Jesus needed to come and to pay the price that none could even pay for themselves, as Jesus did, to bring two things. One, to bring freedom from sin, and two, deliverance from sin. He did that in the body. Listen at this. When you begin to recognize why they tortured his body so much, it was because he did not sin. He did not know any sin personally. But when he became the sacrificial lamb for whosoever will, for the entire world, that was none who could even pay for their own sins. Jesus, in order to satisfy God's payment for sin and to redeem mankind back unto himself, he did not, listen, Jesus didn't take our sins off of us and put on him, because he was too righteous for that. Now, we've heard folks say, he took your sin and he took my sin and he put it on. No. He nailed your sin and my sin to the cross. But what he did was he paid for the penalty of your sin and my sin in his body. When they whipped him with 39 stripes till it exposed all of his inner parts, it was so that it completed the payment necessary to redeem the entire world. Jesus substituted himself for what was due you. That's one reason you ought to be shouting right now. You sit here, look all holier than thou. He know what you did last night. He know what you did last week. He know what he did to redeem you. So don't act like you're not grateful for what he's done for you, when if he hadn't done it, you wouldn't even be here now. And if you would be here, the lifestyle, the life reality would not be worth living. His body suffered every single thing that was necessary to pay the penalty. And so, my brothers and sisters, when you think about the bread, and when you think about his body, and when you partake of that bread at the Lord's Supper, you're not just eating a cracker or a piece of bread, you're eating the living bread. That is transformed into the living bread. When you think of Jesus and all that he's done for you, and you recall that he called you to remember him, and every time you ate that bread and drank that wine, that it was for the purpose of reliving and understanding who it was who paid such an awesome price for you. For you. He paid for your sins in his own body. Now, again, the purpose is to bring deliverance from sin and freedom from the spirit of sin. Listen, the Bible goes on to say that there's a reason for it. What is the reason for it? That we being dead to sin
should live unto righteousness.
Should live unto righteousness. Now, listen at this. If he has freed you from sin, delivered you from sin, then why are you still sinning? I didn't expect I'd get many amens and shouts on this message, but I promise you it's going to help you one way or the other. If he has delivered you from sin, the hold, the grip of Satan on you, and freed you from the spirit of sin, then why are you still sinning? Listen to what the word says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know this. John says, if we say we have no sin, somebody's lying. Here's the reason why. Because though we've been delivered from sin, the devil no longer has the grip on us that he had. He has freed us from the spirit of sin. We're free from that spirit of sin that made us sin without any power to back off, ward off, stop, or rebuke him before Jesus came into our lives. Then we did whatever the devil said. Now we're free from that. So why do we sin? Here it is. Because we want to. Do you realize more saints sin after they've been born again than they were conscious of before they were born again? So what does that mean? It simply means you are, listen, you're saved, but you're not converted. Any witnesses in the house? If you're still sinning, you ought to be a witness. You are not yet fully converted. What does that mean? That means, you know, we could say, yeah, there's some things I used to do. I don't do no more. Yeah, thank God for that. Praise his holy name. Then some of us can be honest and say, the things I used to do, I'm still trying to fix it so I can leave it alone. Anybody in the house? And can we further be real by saying, the things I used to do, I don't want to stop doing them right now. Well, just think about what you did last night, yesterday. Well, think about what you did. Think about the texting you did this week. Think about the conversations you've had. Think about the thoughts in your head, your mind. Think about that person. Y'all getting quiet. But I know I'm telling the truth here. Think about what you would do if you had the opportunity. Think about where you would go if you could go. But you see, what it says is we're not fully converted because the sin nature that Jesus paid to clear and free us from, listen, is a choice of reliving the old nature or the old actions when you've been born again and that old nature should be dead. Well, then how do I keep doing it? From my mind. My soul might have been cleansed, but my mind still recalls the things the old flesh did. And if I'm not careful, look at what the Bible says, that we being dead to sins. Let me take a moment and deal with that. I've never seen, saved or unsaved. God knows I've officiated over many funerals in my life. I've never seen the righteous or the unrighteous do anything good or bad after they died. That was an old drunk, town drunk, in a funeral home. They buried him. He didn't belong to anybody's church. And I mean, he'd rather drink than eat. He was just a bag of bones. But every time you saw him, he had his fifth. And he was happy, morning, noon, and night. His friend, they were the Ace Boom Coon. His friend, if he didn't have him, he shared with him.
And if one was out, they were careful to share with the other. When that friend died, when that bum died, when that alcoholic died, his friend came and put a fifth in his casket. And the service went on, and the preacher talked about life and death and heaven and hell, and told him that, you know, all that's been done in this life is over. What you didn't do in this life, you're done. You can't do it again. And so when they finished the message and they had the last viewing, I see you know where I'm going. That old drunk went up to the casket and they said, "Fam, where my friend, where you going? You won't need this." And he walked on out. I don't care if you were a good person. A lot of people put the Bible in the coffins. They won't read one word of that Bible after they're dead. So what am I saying? When you're dead to sin, you can't sin anymore. You can't sin anymore. So why are you sinning? It's because you're not converted. What does converted mean? It means to, well, let me take you to the scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Turn there if you will. Because I quote a lot of scriptures and you hear them, but you don't see them. I want you to see them and find them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And you'll get the understanding of what I'm talking about. Read.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Hold on right there. Now notice what he's saying. Paul is saying to the church at Rome and to the Christians at large, listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies, not the mercy, singular, mercies of God, because God's mercies are the reason why we are here today. His mercies make up, it adds in where we fall short, it fills in the gaps, it does everything necessary to keep us in the way that Jesus Christ died for us. Every day, his mercies are new, his benefits are new. And when we understand that what God did through Jesus Christ was a complete work, if he had simply saved us the first sin after our salvation, we would then be candidates for hell again. But because of his mercies, somebody say, thank God for mercies.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to a broadcast of Live Big Ministries, a ministry of Hollywood Presbyterian Church in Shreveport, Louisiana, where Harry Cooper